All right. Matthew chapter 6, once again, begin reading it. Verse 9 says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for this pattern of prayer you have given unto us. Pray you would help us to understand it and apply it, Lord, not just saying the words of it, Lord, but having it as the framework of our prayers, Lord, that as we draw close to you, Lord, that we would approach unto you in a way that is honoring to you and is the most blessing to us as your people, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we've been examining the Lord's Prayer, we recognize, of course, that it is a pattern that we are to seek to conform our prayers to, not necessarily just to its letter, but more to its spirit. And as we've been going through it, I think we've noticed how far removed this pattern of prayer can be from our own prayers that we make, and how we want very much to conform it to this pattern. That so often the whole focus of our prayers, kind of the starting point and the ending point, is asking to have our list of desires met. That is kind of the summation of it, kind of forgive me and give me, is kind of how it often is. And I recognize, even with myself, that sometimes we throw in a few words of thanks kind of at the beginning, sort of because we know we should be kind of grateful. It's almost like in our flesh that we figure, well, I'll kind of butter up the Lord a little bit so he's more inclined to hear what I have to say. And then we end it off and say, well, in Jesus' name, amen. And we figure, well, that's almost, we tend to almost use it kind of as a magic word that, well, if we, whatever we say, as long as we end it in that, then it's going to make it through. And in doing that, we've really kind of missed the whole point of what the Lord was trying to teach us in that. And honestly, we know that God sees through all of it anyways, that prayer isn't something where we're trying to impress God. We're trying to show him how good we are. That we read that in Matthew 58 of how they were fasting and they were complaining to God, why wasn't he hearing their prayers? Why wasn't he noticing them? And it's like he told them, well, you might fast, but you're doing all these other things that displease me, and it's just you're not turning your heart towards me. And that's what we see with the pattern of this prayer, that it's a time that we can come before him, that he knows us from the inside out, that trying to put some kind of pretense or anything like that isn't going to work with him, that he wants us to come before him and be real. He wants us to come before him in humility. And that it's a time, as we've seen this, to honor the Lord, to worship him, to simply to enjoy time in his presence, and to get our perspective and our affections off of the things of this earth, instead on the things of heaven, that we're thinking, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, thy kingdom come. That's what our desire is. And essentially, in prayer, that we are preparing our hearts as we come before him, that we know just to be in his presence that we're going to be blessed. And it's the thought that we want to prepare our hearts so that we might receive a blessing. And the phrase that we want to look at today is in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And even in this phrase, the mindset in which we see from this that we are approached to God as we lay our petitions before him is usually not in correlation with what it generally is in our life, in our flesh, and we want to learn to conform it. That when we're praying and we're asking the Lord for different things, often what we tend to do is almost reverse the roles of master and servant. That we have a list of desires, it's almost when we pray that it's like we're pulling up at the drive-through window and we're saying, well, this is what I want, and we expect once we get to the window that it's going to be ready for us, it's going to be there, and if it's not, we're not happy. But we realize that He is the Master, we are His servant. He is the King of Kings, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture, that we are coming before Him to humbly petition the Lord of Heaven, and that even as we make a request unto Him, it's an act of honor and worship unto the Lord. That it is, we understand that it's human nature that we, even though we know we're to pray without ceasing, that it's to become as much a part of our life as breathing, generally we usually only pray when we feel that we need something. That if things aren't going good, if we have a need, if there's a serious problem, then that's when we'll definitely, that's when our prayer life is the strongest. But when things are going well, when the bank account is full, when everything seems to be coming together, that's so often when our prayer life is the slimmest. And that's not the way that it should be. If anything, that it should be a time where we're thanking the Lord, just spending time, even though we don't have any needs, that we can just spend the time glorifying the Lord and thanking Him for all that He's done. But we see with this phrase where it says, give us this day our daily bread, that certainly in that time period, that this would be something that they could relate to much more. Back then people were much poorer, that they were not always sure where the next meal came from. And so when they asked the Lord to provide their daily bread, it was something that, it was a necessary thing. They saw that their need. In our day and age, we have fridges, we have freezers full of food, we have stores that make fresh bread every day, and it isn't just, we go there and there's just kind of one kind of bread. There's so many different kinds of breads that we could have. We could have a different kind every week. And so it's almost the thought, well, why would we even pray this in our day and age? Give us this day our daily bread. And the problem that we have that keeps us from praying is our own self-sufficiency. When we think, I have enough, I can provide for my needs myself, that I don't really need to have that dependence upon the Lord. We remember I was spoken of in the church of Laodicea, how they said that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, where the Lord said, well, you're actually that you're wretched and poor and blind and naked. That that's so often what we find, actually, is that we can be materially prosperous, but we can be spiritually bankrupt. And so we want to realize that there's so much that we need from the Lord, and that we don't want to lose sight of that. And in this phrase we see, give us this day our daily bread, that it is essentially an acknowledgement of our utter dependency upon God. And it is the thought that so often we come to God because we know that He has riches, He has resources, and we can get things from Him. But we recognize that as we pray, that He already knows what we need before we ask. We see this verse 7 and 8 that He said just above that. It says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. And if that's all that we're coming to God for, is just we have kind of a grocery list we want Him to fill, that it's kind of a pointless exercise in that sense, because He already knows our needs. We come to God not just to get stuff from Him, but to be with Him, to enjoy His fellowship. And we see in Matthew 6, verse 33, where He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That that needs to be our attitude, and that's kind of the pattern of this prayer, even, how we see that We say, "Thy kingdom come." We're seeking His kingdom. We're seeking His will be done. We're to seek His righteousness in our lives. That as we do that, then all these things automatically will be added. And the question arises, of course, if the Lord knows what we have need of before we ask Him, well, why do we ask? Why do we bother to pray? But we see in the scriptures, James 4 verse 2, it speaks that of that we so often that we lust and desire to have, but we have not because we ask not. And we see from the scriptures that the Lord desires us to ask of Him. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, Jesus says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread will he give him a stone, or if he ask a fish will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him?" And that is the thought, that we ask Him because we are essentially, we're acknowledging that everything comes from Him, that we're giving worship unto Him, that we're asking Him for it, that He knows what our needs are, but He wants us to come to Him to receive them. And so often what we do is we seek what we need in every other place but the Lord. And sometimes that's how it can be, that we seek provision from other places, other people, where if we pray to the Lord, that we understand that He can move other things to happen and other people, and that can be the provision more in and of itself. And if we go to the one that is the true source, that it honors Him, it glorifies Him, and He appreciates it, and He is glad to give unto us for that. And when we do this, when we say, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're acknowledging our dependency upon Him. We're acknowledging everything comes from Him. And doesn't come from our daily bread doesn't come from our freezer or fridge or from the grocery store or from the paycheck. That all we have comes from Him. Even our ability to earn money, the ability be able to buy a freezer, or the ability that we have like a grocery store in town that we can access, that comes from the Lord, that it's a blessing we can be thankful for, that it's something that it has been given unto us and it could be easily taken away. We think of different places in parts of our province that suffered such great flooding that you have half of some towns that are just more or less wiped off the map, that sure, people might have had a freezer full of food, but if it's underwater and spoiled, it's not going to do them any good. That we think of Slave Lake, where half the town was burnt to the ground, that that sure, they would have had stores and other things that they wouldn't be able to get to anymore, that we take things for granted, and we should not do that. And that's just kind of human nature, that we, even in our nation and society as a whole, that we have been greatly blessed by God through the years, and we receive the blessings, but we forget the blesser. And that's a sad thing. And it's sometimes, sadly, what the Lord has to do to us is actually take the blessings away before we notice Him again. And sadly, again, what happens, we take the blessings away, and then people get upset with God for doing it, that He's being cruel, where it's not Him that's forgotten us, it's us that's forgotten Him. And so we come to Him, and we have that need, that each day that we show our dependency unto Him. And in this phrase that we see, not only is it a acknowledgement of our dependency, it's really a simplicity too, that we are content with whatever the Lord would give. That it says, "Give us this day our daily bread," that it's essentially as well an acknowledgement that of anyone, he knows best what our needs are. And whatever he is going to give unto us, we are going to be thankful for it, that we are going to appreciate it. My mom had it on a plaque that was in the kitchen up above the cupboards, what it said was, God always gives his best to those that leave the choice to him. And as we pray, that we know from last week that we're praying, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And even in this, that we say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, that whatever we receive in that day, that we understand and appreciate is coming from the Lord's hands, and we're appreciative of it. That some days we might have an abundance of bread that's fresh and tastes good. Other times we might have just some stale crust to partake of, but yet we can be thankful. We see that with Paul in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. That he learned that there would be some days that he had plenty and he enjoyed it. But then there are other days that he had nothing to eat, and he was still content, he was still thankful. That's something that we need to learn, that sometimes we have a need and we think, well, the Lord withholds it, and we wonder why, but perhaps it is because he wants to teach us something else. He wants us to focus less on the physical and more on the spiritual. We recognize from the scriptures that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. That sometimes we find that, and you can think with Paul, that perhaps days where he had nothing to eat, he thought, well, maybe this is a good day to fast, that I can seek the Lord and seek his will more clearly. And it's something that we want to learn, that contentedness, that whatever the Lord gives unto us, we are thankful. I know with our children at this age, and we have more than enough always, but it's something as a child that there can always be that tendency when you have a lot that you can be a picky eater, that a person gives you eggs and it's like, well, I didn't want them scrambled, I wanted them fried or whatever, that there's things that we can do that we can complain about. And I know for myself, I don't think I was generally a picky eater very much growing up, but I know the years spent as a bachelor certainly cured me of that, that there are times that you would make something and it would just taste awful. You could barely choke it down, but you had limited resources and you weren't gonna waste it. And so you ate it, and it was nourishment, and it was kind of, I found as cooking my own food that kind of I'd have kind of 10% would be sort of stuff that was hard to digest. Kind of 80% was stuff that was edible, but it wasn't really great, but it was passable. And then kind of you'd have 10% that really tasted good, and that you'd kind of luck out, you'd get things right, and you'd be thankful for that. But that is something that I think the Lord wants to teach us, that as we ask him daily to meet our needs, he knows what our needs truly are, that so often we confuse our wants with our needs. And we want all these things, but we don't need them. And sometimes they can actually be to our detriment. And we need to learn that contentment and that gratitude, that whatever we receive at the hand of the Lord, that he knows best. And the fact is we realize that so often the Lord doesn't give us just kind of the bare minimum. He does exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, that he giveth to men all things richly to enjoy, that there is so much that we can be thankful for. That if he gave us just bread every day, that's something to be gratitude. But like I know with our place, having a garden, having fresh lettuce to eat now, and we planted strawberries last year, and they're starting to produce, and there's so many different blessings from his creation that we can enjoy. And really, when we have the proper attitude, we should be thankful for all of it. That it's the idea that it's been given to us by God. And we don't want to be as the Israelites, who the Lord gave them bread from heaven, that they ate angels' food, but then they complain. They say, oh, we're tired of this bread. Where that was, it was a miracle from God, that it was a sign of his provision for them. And they turn their noses up at it, and we don't want to do that. And I think as well, as we look at this phrase, give us this day our daily bread, that as we do this, that we acknowledge that the Lord wants us to establish a daily dependence upon him. That if it said to ask for our yearly bread, if that's what our prayer was, well, we'd only pray once a year. You say, well, Lord, I need bread for the year, and trust that he'll provide it. But if we ask for it daily, then we're always going back to him. And it's kind of, it doesn't make a lot of sense in some ways, especially as we kind of think of, in our day and age of trying to save time, it's like you go to the grocery store and you want to get as much stuff as possible. You don't want to keep making a trip every day. But the thing is, we're not going to the Lord just for what we can get. We're going to the Lord to be with him. And if we're asking just what we need for the day, and we're going back each day, that means that we're getting to spend more time with him, and he's getting to spend more time with us. And it is actually, we recognize in it that he's desiring to build our faith as well. That with each day that we start the day, well, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, provide me for what I need for the day. And then as we go through the day, we see what the Lord gives us. And we see him answering this prayer that we've made. Sometimes we receive what we expect. Sometimes we receive something we maybe didn't want, but then later on we find out that it was for our good. Sometimes we receive good of the Lord. Sometimes it seems we receive evil, but it's all part of his plan for us. It's all to help us. And as we learn from him daily, that we pray and then we see how he answers that prayer, that we ask and we receive, that it develops that relationship with him, develops our faith. It teaches us to praise him, teaches us to thank him, that he wants us to be a thankful people, that so often he answers our petitions, but then we don't show him the honor that we should. It is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us that we would give thanks in everything. And so we would develop that pattern, that we would come to him daily, we would ask of him humbly, knowing that he knows what's best, that during the day we see how he answers that prayer, we receive it, we praise him and thank him, and then we ask again. It helps us to know that he's there. Know that he's with us, because so often that's what happens in our lives, is that we don't pray as we ought, and things kind of get away on us, and we almost think, well, where did God go? It seems like he's abandoned me. But the fact is so often what it is that if we're far from God, God isn't the one that's moved. It's us. And as we draw closer to him, we see his hand every day. And that's the blessing that we, when we get that idea that of prayer, that He wants us to enjoy being with Him. He wants to enjoy being with us. He wants us to use any excuse we have to pray unto Him, with big things, with the little things, because He wants us to learn to enjoy Him, enjoy His presence, and He wants to enjoy the time with us. He wants to, as a father, to see our needs, even though He knows them. He wants us to come and ask Him, and He delights to give us what we need. He wants to give us even beyond what we ask or think. And so, as we contemplate this simple phrase, may our prayers be truly conformed to this pattern, that in the petitions that we make, that we would acknowledge our daily dependence upon Him, acknowledge that He knows what's best for us, and acknowledge of how this is what He wants to do. He wants to get us to have that daily life. He wants us really to get to a point where we're praying without ceasing, that we're doing it all the time. But it's this idea that we pray and we receive. That we think of George Mueller, of how he ran the orphanages in England for so many years, that he would sit everyone down at the table and they would have nothing to eat, and he would thank the Lord for the food that they were going to partake of, even though the table was bare. And as he finished, that there'd be someone at the door and they'd have food for them. And just to see God's provision in that. And that's what the Lord wants to do with us in so many areas of our life. And we miss out so much when we just kind of wait till we get like a big problem to hand over to Him. He wants to help us just in the little things. And if we know that He can help us in the small stuff, He can definitely handle the big stuff. And as we do that, may our faith be built. May our relationship and our enjoyment of His presence increase. And as we do that, as we seek Him, we seek His kingdom, seek His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto us. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, we just thank You again for Your word. And we pray You would teach us to pray and help us to depend upon You and seek to come to You each day for the little things and for the big things, that we might be blessed and You might enjoy our time with You and answer prayer and show Your power in our lives, Lord. We ask this all in Your name. Amen. So let's turn to one hymn in closing, number 299, Day by Day.